You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 7, Episode 27 coming your way this week. Once again, it's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you this week. And I'm delighted to say it. Well, I'm actually not delighted to say it because Gary, he did incredible damage to us at the weekend. But France Perrault, what a season he is having. What a debut season in the League of Ireland. The Haiti strikers having with Athlone Town. He's going to join us on the show a little bit later on to talk about that stunning match winner he got in El Clasico. One or two goals he got. He's going to clear up whether he's on 18 or 19 goals this season. There's a bit of confusion out there, but either way, it's still been an amazing season for France Perrault. And I'm sure our podcast sponsor, Quinn AV, will be delighted to have an at-loan man on the show this week, Gary.
Oh, absolutely. He had a great weekend, did Anthony. He also helped me out with a bit of internet trouble I was having. Very embarrassing. issue I found myself in, but he saw the light for me.
Look,
so
as we say every week, go to quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting, and AV solutions. And there's proof in the pudding. He gave you the AV solution on Saturday.
Absolutely. No, fair play to him. He shone the light where it wasn't going in my head. Fair play. Look, great weekend for Athlone.
I think the story is a bit funnier than that. Basically, you just hadn't something plugged in and you were running around like a headless chicken. Why is this not working? And then
essentially,
Anthony just held up a wire. Lad, I think the problem is here. You haven't plugged this in.
Pretty much. Unfortunately, nothing too exciting or crazy or interesting.
It was a bad start to Saturday night and it got better as it went on, but then it ended quite badly as well from a Longford perspective. But we'll come to that later on. But
once I got that cable plugged in, I was flying. It was good to get that done. But from football-wise, look, I think it was, without getting into that yet, I think it was good. It was a great game. Really enjoyed it.
Unbelievable, yeah, great game. Stunning
Longford
goals.
Did very well.
Yeah, we'll get to it later. Yeah. We'll get to it later. But Franz will be on the show in a little while. And also, it's a bit of an Athlone festival on the podcast this week because we're going to bring you a little bit of audio with their coach. That is Dario Costello. He has obviously stepped into the dugout there in recent weeks or in recent months. And we had a little bit of audio with him on the Members Club after that game on Saturday. Seems like a nice chat, Portuguese. Very gently spoken and seems to be a good student of the game. So we'll bring you a little bit of that audio with Dario as well. So there you go. Not too often you get so much Athlone Town content on Between the Stripes LOI podcast, but for the week that's in it, their third consecutive win in the Midlands Derby, we will have plenty of Athlone content a little bit later on. But Gary, we'll start by looking back on the Premier Division weekend that was. I think we'll start with Cork City against UCD, 1-1 draw at Turner's Cross, because we spoke about this last week. We spoke about how Turner's Cross is obviously a huge benefit, but it can also be a huge negative as well when things aren't going well. And I was looking at a lot of Cork City content over the weekend, and look, something we touched on in recent weeks, the negativity that's swirling around the club, you'd nearly almost class it as toxicity at this stage. It's not a good place to be right now.
No, I wouldn't be too excited having to play football there at the moment. Particularly when historically it's been such a benefit for Cork City players. You know, if the game isn't going great or they're under a bit of pressure or, you know, they conceded a goal, it was always an extra man that could have dug them out of a hole. Unfortunately, as you said, it's the opposite at the moment. And it doesn't seem like it's going to be for Turner in the next few weeks. I don't see how they can get stuff across the line as regards improvement. They're limited in a lot of ways. They don't, you know, and I think this is what I was saying before about the first division squad. I think that's probably the most accurate way to describe it. Of course, I'd say that it's the most accurate way to describe it, but yeah, it's not going great. And I don't really know how they can get out of this situation other than putting wins on the board. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I'm even just, I'm on their Twitter here at the moment, Cork City. They announced a new signing today, Malik Dijksteel will go with. He's from Amsterdam, but he was most recently with Wrexham's reserves. He's played a bit of Premier League 2 football, but very little. He's 22 years of age. And one of the most liked comments under this is a Cork fan saying, any chance we can sign a seasoned professional footballer with a bit of experience to get us out of this relegation battle? So even with new signings coming in, it's not exactly springing positivity down there at Turner's Cross.
No, to say the least, it's very hard to be excited about any of them.
I suppose it's a gamble to nothing. It's a young player coming in with no experience. He'll come in, he'll either do well or he won't do well. I'm sure he's not signing for big money, but yeah, again, it's worrying times down in Cork, and particularly the weekend. I mean, if they'd beaten UCD, Drogheda were beaten by Derry, Sligo were beaten by Dundalk, a chance to get closer to the teams above them. They're still sitting in that relegation playoff place. And then, look, I know it's probably a small thing in the grander scheme of things, but everything has kind of been amplified at the moment at Cork, given the situation they're in and the amount of scrutiny they're under, beaten in the Munster Senior Cup final by Cove earlier on in the week as well. And again, from reading some of the reports from that games and reading some of the commentary from Cork fans, even some of the younger players that were on show that night, it was just a very lackluster performance. And that's probably the word you'd use about Cork. Everything just seems very flat, very lackluster down there at the moment.
Yeah, that's putting it mildly. Like, there doesn't seem to be anything that's ticking away nicely.
No.
At all.
The only thing I will say, great to see Rory Keaton coming off the bench in the game against UCD. And I think he started the game, captained the team in the Munster Senior Cup final the other day. So,
yeah.
Look, great to see him back. And hopefully he's doing okay and his family's doing okay. And I'm sure being back on the pitch will be a big help to him as well. But we'd love to see him banging in a few goals now in the next few weeks. But that's probably the only positive at the moment, that Rory Keaton is back on the field.
Well, exactly. And also, but to even temper that, and while that is fantastic news, even the other night they managed to lose that game against Cove.
Hmm.
And, you know, I know the Munster Senior Cup, you know, it's not to be all and end all, as I say, but it's, you know, you'd rather win it.
Yeah.
At the same time. So,
particularly against a team that you could possibly meet in a playoff. Now, I know there's a lot of things that would have to fall into place for that to happen, but...
Yeah, but it's not beyond the realms of possibility either.
Mm, exactly.
And, you know, they have to look at, well, how... Yeah, I'm just really struggling to see where the end game is.
Mm. Actually, probably skipping ahead quite a bit here, but later on we'll have obviously our predictions league. We've got a Waterford fan playing with us this week, Donica O'Sullivan, and obviously Waterford take on Cork City in the FAI Cup this weekend. How important is that game to Cork City? I think there's I've been reading a lot of Cork stuff online over the last couple of days, and I think there's a bit of a split in the fan base as to whether they should play their full team here and maybe leave players out and focus on the league, or whether this is actually quite important because this very likely could be a playoff final
for the Munster Senior Cup game. Sorry,
the Cork and Waterford in the FAI Cup this coming weekend.
Potentially
be a playoff final.
Another playoff. Yeah. Sorry. I think the way they have to be going at the minute is we have to get out of this.
Yeah, they need something to turn.
Exactly. Well, we don't have
time for the quarterfinals of the FAI Cup, then let it be that, you know?
Exactly. I don't think they have the space to go, actually, we can do without this game, or we can, you know, not worry about this for the moment.
As we keep saying, the squad's not that good. The squad's not that strong. You know, if they go play a reserve team against Waterford and take a comprehensive beating off a first division team, what's that going to do for confidence?
Oh, that'll be as bad as anything.
Mm.
They need all their players playing as best at their highest level possible at the moment. So whatever that looks like, however they make that happen, they just need to go and do it. They don't have, as I said, they don't have the space to be cute with anything that they're doing at the moment. They don't have the time or effort or anything at this moment in time. So they just have to go out and win all the games. It was like, I think Longford played in the cup against UCD in the year they got relegated from the Premier. They made quite a changed team.
Yeah,
Changed the goalkeeper, changed a few bits. And it was just, I didn't see the need for it, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
And it kind of cost them.
Did.
So, I don't know. I don't like doing that. I think what they need to do is to go hell for leather in every single game and see how they get on, because they don't have anything else.
Obviously, we had the conversation last week about the whole tactical approach of approaching Kevin Doherty at the time they did. I almost got caught out by a tweet after the UCD game, didn't I? I think it was one of the lads off the other Three Amigos podcast. They had a tweet up that Cork City had approached Andy Myler. And it took me a minute to twig that was obviously a parody of the news that went out the week before. And then there was similar tweets after the Munster Senior Cup the other night. People were saying, oh, Shane Keegan will be the next approach. So, that's a bit of gallows humour down in Cork. That's all they've got to keep them going at the moment, I'm afraid. Dundalk 1-0 winners against Sligo Rovers. It wasn't pretty for Dundalk. I was watching bits and pieces of this game on LOI TV the other night. I haven't had a chance to look back at it. I know Sligo had a big penalty appeal. I'm not sure whether you've seen that one or not.
No, I'm afraid not. I didn't see that.
Okay, so I can't ask you whether you think that was a penalty or not. But overall,
what do you think?
I seeing the first view and live view, and now I was watching it with no commentary ending. It looked very like it could be a penalty, but I haven't seen it back. But only 1-0, four shots on target from the dock, two from Sligo. Not a free-flowing game of football by any stretch of the imagination, but Dundalk just doing enough to get over the line, I suppose.
Yeah, and look, that's they're well used to it, I suppose, aren't they? They haven't been pulling up any trees at all this season. Some bad results thrown in there, but I think they always had the measure of Sligo, no doubt. There was never going to be any fear that they'd be slipping up at home to Sligo.
Now, last week when we were talking about Sligo Rovers, we were obviously talking about Max Matta, the decision to sell him to the UK. Although I haven't heard whether there was some suggestions there from people. Maybe it was similar to Aidan Keane that he had the release clause where if a club in the UK matched a certain value, he could move on. Maybe that was the same with Matta. But anyway, yeah. We discussed last week, you know, losing your star striker in the middle of a relegation battle. What about loaning out your goalkeeper, your number one goalkeeper?
Probably no better way of saying that you've thrown in the towel on the season, is there? Would that be like the, because the way I'm looking, the way all I can see is
are they banking on Cork being worse than them now at this stage? Is that what Sligo?
I think so.
Yeah, that's what it looks so. Like anyway, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that's exactly. And I've been talking about this for a long time that their fans. Should be protesting, but like they should be blowing a gasket at this. You know, whatever, you know, Max Matta leaving a few weeks ago, right, that's emotional enough. And then on top of that, your first choice keeper been let go on a loan, no less. It's not as if we're getting...
No, they're getting, from what we've read, they're getting a decent loan fee and they might get something at the end of it. But again, you know, you look at the league table, you weigh things up. I don't know. It's risky. There's no doubt about it. It's risky.
Well, do you know what the fee is? Yeah.
Dan or McDonald had some tweets up the other day, a few days ago, and I forget, but I think it was decent. There was a decent loan fee anyway. And
was it 100k?
No, not for a loan. I don't think. Well, I don't know.
Okay. I think maybe looking for 100k, at least. Because of the situation they're in. You know, the situation that they're in, there's no two ways about it. They have to get through it for the rest of the season. Shipping away all your decent players is not good enough. And look, I have reservations about McNicholas anyway, but this is not the way to be going about it.
Again, not to go down the kind of the long road of debate that we went down last week again about the greater picture of the league as well, but you just look at this and Sligo keep selling on these players or, you know, banking on them. You're just wondering, why does the club feel such a need? It appears like they're really trying hard to balance the books there. And you just kind of wonder about how difficult it is for clubs outside of the few that have bankrollers behind them, how hard it is to try and balance competing on the field and keeping a stable ship.
Well, I think financially they're not doing too badly or haven't been in previous years. But someone looked me out a few weeks ago for saying that they have a very, very bad track record of bringing players in.
Does the fact that they've sold Keane and Matt on in the last couple of...
Yeah, but like Keane was a punt. He was in the league before, wasn't he?
paid off.
Yeah, I know, but my point is they're taking too many punts.
Max Mata wasn't in the league before. He worked out.
Eventually, it took. How long is he with Sligo? Or how long was he with Sligo?
Season and a half.
Was he only?
Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. Still, I think I can't.
No, look, I'm just trying to push you. I'm trying to push you here. I do. I've said it before. I think the transfer approach has been a bit scattergun.
That's putting it too kindly.
I think they could do with some sort of director of football there, or they need to look at some sort of structure. But again, look, we're kind of beating our head against the wall every week. It's like we're talking about these things all the time. They are in a bit of a unique position where geographically it's harder to attract players from Dublin, and they have to look overseas. And with that, it is a bit of a gamble, but definitely big, big gamble. Loaning out your goalkeeper mid-season. We'll move on. Unfortunately, the curse of the live game on RT struck again, but it was actually a very entertaining 0-0, actually. I was watching this at work. Pats 0, Bows 0. There was chances, but unfortunately, no goals.
Yeah, there was some chances. I think, it was very close to being a great game, or possibly a great game. It just never materialised, which is disappointing, but there was some... lots of nice pieces in it. Something that actually drove me mental was, I think the first minute, I think Talbot made a hames of it with a ball back to him and scuffed it out for a throw in a relatively dangerous position. And I was just like, oh, lad, come on. Surely we can get it together in some way. But he did make up for making a decent save. I think it was someone cut in from the right, and it went through a few bodies, and he made a good save pushing it wide. But there wasn't, like, it was a bit of a... it was like teetering on the edge of being a great game. Goal would have just cured that game in absolutely no time. And unfortunately, that just never came.
Of course, both teams would have come off the pitch feeling a bit deflated that they'd probably lost ground to Shamrock Rovers. But then Rovers concede a last gasp equaliser against Shelburne.
Yeah, did you see it?
I did.
Yes. Kind of... are they losing the Terminator moniker, are they? I can't believe I'm saying this.
They're not flowing anyway, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, they're flowing something else. And it's not healthy. They've been desperate. Absolutely desperate in the last few weeks. I think... someone was saying online, I think the number of games that they have won is 1-9, I think it is. Mm. And obviously I think that was from before the Shells game that I saw that tweet, but it's 1-10 now, let's say. So it's really like, is Bradley, like, I know he has a lot of rope there, but surely that's not really good enough for a team at that end of the table.
You want to ask me, do you? You're going to actually ask me, or are you going to dance around it?
Well, is he under pressure, is he?
I couldn't see any sort of situation where he doesn't finish the season out. And even at that, I think he'll be given the chance to regenerate this squad if he wants to.
But he has been given that chance. I think that's my point last week. Who has he not got that he made?
Yeah, he's had the best over the last few years. But as we've said, some of these players are... so I'm looking at the starting 11 from the other night. Rory Gaffney, he was sensational last year, but he's another year older. Graham Burke hasn't been the same player this season. Okay, he's brought Burke into the midfield, but he hasn't played a huge amount of games because of injury. He's bought Poomin, who scored the other night. Watts has been there a few seasons. You've never been a fan. Ronan Finn has been around a long time, and then we've touched on the back four and the goalkeeper on numerous occasions, so it needs a lot of freshening up, that Shamrock Rovers squad. Whether he can do that over one transfer window and still remain competitive, so let's say they get to the end of the season, they fall over the line, they win four in a row, can he get rid of six or seven players and bring six or seven players in, or is it going to have to be a more gradual thing? I don't know. I've never rebuilt a title winning squad in my life. But I think that Bradley, if he wants the opportunity to stay at Rovers no matter what happens this season and try and rebuild for another kind of spell of dominance, I think he'll be given the opportunity to do that, given what he's achieved in the last few years.
Yeah, and he probably does deserve it, but I I wouldn't be going.
I suppose from the board's perspective as well, they look at, right, we've kind of been down this road with Stephen Bradley before his early couple of years. You remember the banner that came out. We all know the story. It looked more likely he'd go than stay. They stuck with him. They had this vision in place, and they've got the fruits of that in the last few years. So I think they'll be more inclined to stick with Stephen Bradley if it comes down to it, if they end up in that sort of situation where, let's say, they don't win the title this season.
I fully agree that I think they'll be more inclined to stick with him than let him go. There's no question about that. I think they're not at the catastrophic point that, oh my God, this fella has to go. He's desperate.
Mm.
This has been going on for quite a while. It's nothing like that. And that's, you know, that's fair enough. But I think when it also needs to be said that, you know, this can't go on for too much longer either.
Mm.
Poor, desperate in Europe, out of the cup, never won a double with the stuff that's available to him in there. There should be no question that he should have been at least in a couple of finals in that time, and he hasn't been. So I don't know, are we getting to the point where, like, Jesus lad, maybe we should be progressing on to, you know, at least a chance of a couple of doubles rather than being out in the quarter final? Well, were they out before the quarter final this year
in the cup?
Yeah
they went out in the first round to Dundalk.
First round, yeah. Sorry, I just wasn't sure if it was the first
round. Look, you're saying there that maybe as much success as he's had, Stephen Bradley, you could raise questions about maybe some of the shortcomings as well. Let's just say they sack him tomorrow morning after listening to this podcast. So, yeah, Gary's right. He's gone. And they bring in a manager. It's still going to be the same squad that he'd be working with, and a lot of players that are probably reaching the end of their peak as such. So someone's going to have to rebuild that squad. And I think from a Shamrock Rovers point of view, they'll look at Stephen Bradley and say, he's a safe pair of hands to do that. I trust him to rebuild the squad, whereas bringing in someone that's new to the club or doesn't have that connection to the club or whatever it is, that's more of a gamble. We're talking about gambles a lot tonight. Just on that, actually, we mentioned Sligo, obviously, and the gamble of loaning out their goalkeeper mid-season.
Yeah.
Damien Duff, I know Shells are in a bit stronger position probably financially than Sligo now because of the new Turkish investment that's come in there, but Jack Moylan obviously has been heavily linked with a move away in the summer window, and Damien Duff has come out and said that he's basically, you know, I think the club are aware Jack's going to go at the end of the season, but they're willing to take that financial, they could have sold him in the last couple of weeks for a decent transfer sum, but they look, and Damien Duff's looked at his squad and he said, well, I don't have a striker at the moment. And, you know, Jack is the closest I have to a striker, so I'm willing to take that hit. We'll lose him at the end of the season. They'll still get a development fee from anyway, which will help a little bit. But they could have probably got, you know, 100K, a couple of 100K for him if they'd sold him. But they've decided to keep him there.
But he was out of contract at the end of the season anyway, though. So,
yeah, but they could have cashed in on him in this window.
Yeah, but cash in how much?
I think there was talk of 100K or more anyway.
Yeah, but 100K, yes. But if that was before the Turkish boys, then, you know, you could, okay, maybe fair enough. But I don't think there's that desire there as much anymore because they have the, let's say, protection of having a big investor in the at the club now. So that 100K, let's say, that could have been easily been made up of, let's say, 50K fee or, you know, 80K fee.
Yeah, they're looking at the table here now. They're still only 6 points outside the top four. I mean, if you get into the top four, that's worth a lot more than 100K through Europe. So they're looking at the gamble there, and it's more worthwhile to keep them than sell them on for a quick buck. But
certainly for the moment,
Just thought I'd mention that kind of. But again, there's a huge difference in how Sligo are set up as a club and how Shelburne are set up as a club at the moment. Move on with our Premier Division review. The only game left to mention, that is the game that was on Sunday. Derry City and Drogheda. Derry running out 3-0 winners. This was obviously off the back of a trip to Kazakhstan. I think that was a good result out in Kazakhstan to lose 1-0. They're in Tala tomorrow. I'm heading up to it. I know that it's not going to be a full house because it's a long old spin for the Derry fans. There's been a lot of talk about the tickets as well.
What did you make of the ticket?
I know it was covered on another podcast this week and I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but from my point of view, I think I've spoken about this before. I can obviously see if I'm a Derry person living in Derry, the inconvenience having to go to Dublin on a Thursday night, you know, I don't know how much it's going to cost you in diesel or a bus or whatever to get there, and then £25 at the gate if you're bringing your family a drink, bit of food, whatever. It's going to be an expensive day out. I even hear this. I was chatting to a couple of lads the other day. It wouldn't be League of Ireland people, and I told them I was going to commentate on the Longford at Loan game, and they're like, "Oh, do you have to pay into that?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't pay in because I'm commentating." No, but they said, "Do you actually, like, if I want to go, do you have to pay in?" I was like, "Yeah, it's a League of Ireland football game. Of course you have to pay in." They're like, "How much is it into that game?" €15, and they're like, "Ah, come out of it." I was like, €15 to watch live football. I think we've spoken about this in the past. I remember talking about at the very start of the season there was a bit of controversy about the Kerry season tickets. And me and you were saying how people will happily shell £300, £400, £500 out to bring a family over to Old Trafford or wherever it may be. But they see paying a tenner or 15 into a League of Ireland game has been expensive. This is a European game. This is a very important European game. I don't think £25 is expensive. I think that's a fair ticket price. But I do see, you know, if it was in the Brandywell, it's a different story. Even if it was somewhere a little bit closer, Belfast, whatever it may be. Can see it as a different story. I could probably understand the argument. Maybe the club could have done something in terms of subsidizing travel and all the rest, but they've had a big outlay there in getting over to Kazakhstan. They might have another trip after this, hopefully, and then a big European campaign ahead, and they have to rent Tala. So all of that has to be covered. So I can understand why the club are charging that, but I can obviously see the supporters' view as well.
Well, good. You're seeing a lot of stuff. I fully agree, and I understand the difficulty that there is because the stadium isn't up to what's required, and you know to handle that you have to go to where it is. I do think though there maybe could have been some type of recognition of the hardship of having to go to Dublin, which is 300 or 400 kilometers or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm just pulling that out of my head. It's not a short journey. We've met it a few times.
Yeah.
And as you said, diesel and everything else, I know, should they have, you know, is it their fault that any of this is happening? Well, other than this, the ground isn't sufficient.
It's not their fault.
Sorry?
They don't own the ground either.
They don't own the ground either. But I don't know. I think
a lot of neutrals have said they've been put off by the price as well.
I'm not going because I don't want to pay £25 for a ticket that for a team that isn't my own.
And the game's on telly.
Mm. So.
But me and you went last year I only got to one because I busted my knee after that. But we went to the European games that Rovers were in, and it was the 3-game pass, and I think it was £90. So we essentially paid £30 a ticket. Now that was group stage football, but you know, this is a couple of games away from being group stage football. So £25, it's not that steep in my opinion. Again, I can't remember back. I'm trying to think back to 2016. I would have went to all the Dundalk games in Tala, and again, I think they were €20 or €25. And I would have gone to Sligo Rovers games in Europe years ago as well. And I think they were about £25 at the time for Europa League qualifiers. So I think that's par for the course in terms of the match ticket. I don't think they're trying to fleece anyone there. Again, they have a lot of outgoings to cover here. Stadium rental, trip to Kazakhstan last week, maybe a trip to the Czech Republic after this. So I wouldn't be overly harsh on the club, but maybe they could have. And I think they've done well in the last couple of days. I know they've got Rory Higgins out there, and he's done a bit of a video message, kind of a rally and cry to get behind the team and all the rest. But I think a lot of people will probably stick at home and watch this on telly, which is a shame because you're banking on the home advantage here to try and push Derry over the line.
Exactly. And I think they're clearly going to be missing out on a good chunk of that, which is disappointing. And it's a shame, really, that they won't have that additional support. Simply because there's just that barrier there that is just a bit too expensive. And there's probably going to be a lot of disappointed people. And I know I'm not saying that's their fault, but just with the limitation of going, right, well, I can't really afford this at the minute, or for, you know, whatever's going on, I can't do this. So that's just part and parcel of it. But yeah, look, I think there isn't really a bag that can be done about it. I understand why it's the price it is. It is a turnoff for people like myself who would have probably gone to the game.
But you're saying Yeah, go on. That's what I was going to ask. If £25 is too much for you, how much would you have been willing to pay?
I wouldn't have been mad about paying £15 either, or £20 either, but I probably would have suffered it. Mm. And I know it's only for the sake of £5, but and I'm not saying that I have so much money. I clearly don't. But it's at the end of the day, it's a club that I want to see. Derry, I want to see all the teams in Europe do well. Yeah, I'm one of those people. But
well, just on that something that John covered a few weeks ago, and he was on about we're in danger of falling out of the top 32 in the coefficient. We have now slipped out of that, so we really need Derry to do well.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's not great. That's a bit of a pain in the posterior, but sure, what can we do?
Yeah, but how do you feel about their chances of getting through that tie? I didn't get watching a lot of the first leg last week. It was obviously 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It wasn't a great time, but they seem to have done all right.
Yeah, I think so. Like
the obviously they're losing a bit by going to Tala in terms of the atmosphere and all the rest, but it's been spoken about. Their record in Dublin is quite good. Their record on a grass pitch is better than it is on the Brandywell. So that pitch up in Derry could suit them, or up in Tala could suit them.
Oh, by Ginny, of course it can, and hopefully it does. Like we're looking for any ray of sunshine here because we don't have it at the minute.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like it hasn't exactly been a rosy year of European football this season in the League of Ireland or for a League of Ireland team. So if we could get a solution, or not a solution, but if we could get a positive result like Derry going through into the playoff round, well, that'd be absolutely massive. I think, and you might have fallen into this last week, that there maybe is a bit of like, I can't pronounce her name, but was it Victoria Plzen or Plzen, they are. They're no jackasses.
No, but I think, I was talking to John about this, I think in terms of the teams they could have drawn, that again, it's probably the best draw they could have got. So that's the way you have
to.
Let's hope we are previewing that game next week. As for this game against Drogheda, I was watching it on Sunday on LOI TV. Drogheda, again, as they always do, went up there, made it really difficult. In the first half, they missed an unbelievable opportunity.
Shocking, wasn't it?
The lad Robinson rolls it across to Foley. He's a couple of yards out. Brian Maher, I know you're not the biggest fan, but he bailed his team out big time there, and he's done that a few times this season.
Oh, of course he has. Sure. He's a keeper. He's bound to get it right sometime.
Like, all right, right.
Job.
What?
It's his job.
My best Roy Keane impression I have for you.
Okay.
Sorry about that, everyone.
Yeah.
Especially to the people of Cork.
Okay, moving away from that. It's just on the Brian Maher thing, like, you think he's not the best keeper in the league. You don't think. You think Shepherd is a better keeper, don't you?
Probably.
So my thing, and I don't want to be overly harsh just for the sake of it, but I don't know, there's just times that, and I think I said it to you, I think it was during the Town match, that, you know, we want the keeper to bail us out of problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think we get enough of that from Maher.
To be fair, I think Maher's done a good bit of that this season. You know, he's made a few mistakes over the last couple of months as well, but that's territory with goalies. But I know, I do think he's bailed them out quite a bit this season, particularly when they went through that rocky patch. I think he was very, yeah, very important. Just on this game itself, I think late on, obviously, Derry opened up on them a little bit. We mentioned on recent podcasts the loss that Adebayega is going to be to that Drogheda.
Yeah.
You could see it was mentioned on commentary. Fair play to the two lads. I'm not sure who it was on comms the other night, but they picked it up at stages in the game. They were saying the two centre-halves for Drogheda, Keeley and Egan, they just looked very uncomfortable when they turned and they were facing their own goal and they were in a foot race against a Mullen or a Duffy or McGonagall when he came on. And when McGonagall came on, he really, really started to stretch them, and he got a goal himself as well. And then Michael Duffy got a late one as well. So it looks like, I'm not going to draw conclusions after one game. Obviously, you know, you're up against some really pacey players there, Mullen and Duffy, and McGonagall so clever as well. But that might be just something to keep an eye on in terms of pace in the draw of the back four, and whether other teams look to exploit that now that Adebayega's moved on.
Yeah, like there's probably an aspect of, or situation where they could, Adebiega was digging them out of holes that they might not have necessarily been in. Mm. Like I think you know, there's players that like they'll probably look better than they actually are because they make great recovery on tackles, but like obviously the best players aren't in that situation in the first place.
Mm.
So I don't want to be too harsh on anybody in particular, but I think with Adebiega, he is a very talented player and probably will go very far. He probably made up for other lackings in the Drogheda defence, and that's probably where they're going to really miss him and probably be more exposed than they would have been than when he was there.
Again, overall, though, I think it was a fairly promising performance from Drogheda away from home. And again, if they took those chances early in the first half, then who knows what might have happened. But for Derry City, a very important win, because we spoke about this game last week in terms of, you know, rotating the squad and all. And I suppose Connolly, Patching, McGonagall, McElhenney, and McMullen all came on in this game. Ben Doherty didn't even come off the bench. So there was a couple of very important players on the bench. But you look at the players that started, O'Reilly, Jordan McInniff, Diallo, Kavanagh, Mullen, Duffy, they've got the squad there. So this is something they're going to have to just get used to this. Well, hopefully they're going to have to get used to this Thursday, Sunday crack, because we want to see them go deep in Europe. But they've definitely got the squad to do it. And this was a hugely important win in terms of keeping the title race alive. Before we move on to the First Division stuff, obviously we're talking about Rovers there a little bit and then Derry. Where are you looking now for the title?
Just glad I couldn't tell you.
Mm.
Like, I know... We should probably stop asking ourselves this.
Yeah, we ask it every few weeks. Now, we went quiet for a few weeks, but we have both said over, I suppose, the last maybe month or so, and I think we were joking when we said it at the start, and then we started to get more serious about it. The Pats were a bigger threat to Rovers than Derry were. There's only a point between Pats and Derry now, and Derry have a game in hand.
Yeah.
So we take Shamrock Rovers out of the equation. Who would you fancy to win the league, Pats or Derry? Or is it an unfair question to ask because we don't know whether Derry are going to be in Europe or not? I'm giving you a bit of rope there if you want to take it.
Yeah. No, I think it's a fair enough question. I don't think you're wrong. I think I'd say Pats.
You'd still say Pats?
Yeah, they're just nicer at the minute. They're just more humming along nicely or whatever way you want to describe it. They just seem to be running more consistently, more assuredly. It seems to be very positive around there at the moment. Probably a positivity that wasn't just there a lot in the past, or we'll say this season. So, yeah, no, I'd say Pats.
Mm. Let's hope it stays this tight between now and the end of the season, because we've got four teams there all in with a chance point-wise. Now, again, I don't think any of us expect
who's
Bowes.
Who's the fourth team?
Bowes, but I don't think any of us expect Bowes to be in the title race. But
for a second, I thought you were including Drogheda or Dundalk in that.
No. But look, if it's this tight for the title and for the top four, then it's going to be one hell of an end to the season. We're going to move on to the First Division review very, very shortly. Before that, though, we're going to bring you our first interview of the night. It is First Division related, and as we highlighted at the very top of the show, we're delighted to be joined on this week's show by the Athlone Town striker, Franz Perrault. He is having one heck of a season, only for Rowan and Coughlin. He'd be the top scorer in the First Division, and he fired Athlone to a third consecutive Midlands Derby win against Longford Town on Saturday night with two goals, including a stunning, stunning late goal that I'm sure you've all seen on Twitter, and I know I deafened a few eardrums as well with the commentary for this one, but I'm sure Franz and the Athlone fans enjoyed it, and we're going to hear from the Haitian striker now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Now, I would say I'm absolutely delighted to be joined by Franz Perrault on this week's show, but he, of course, did some fierce damage to Longford Town at the weekend, but the Athlone Town striker does join us on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Franz, great to see you. That second goal obviously has gained quite a bit of attention online. Is that one of the best goals you've ever scored? Have you scored goals like that over in the States that we're just not aware of yet?
I would say it's the best one I've scored. I've had a few attempts with a bicycle kick, but never got any luck with that. But I would say this is the best one. so far.
The touch beforehand, it just really adds to it. It's a special touch.
It just happened. Yeah, it just happened.
Yeah,
just
was that instinctive or was that something?
I meant to do that. It's in the locker, you know. It was just the right time, and it was a great way to do it. Perfect game.
Of course, you had scored early in the game. It was a real instinctive finish. You just took one touch and you put it in the top corner, didn't give the keeper a chance. But up until then, you were probably having one of your quieter games for Athlone. It looked like Longford were marshalling you quite well at the back. They were obviously playing the back five, so three centre-halves keeping you company. You looked a little bit frustrated earlier in the game.
It was kind of tough. I mean, the conditions didn't really help. You know, the way we were trying to play. I wasn't really getting the ball very, you know, it was kind of hard. And I mean, props to the defense, you know, they did well. They was pretty physical to begin with. They didn't really give me any space. And it's something that I figured out, you know, early on. And the defender, I forgot his name, but he gave me a little knock in the beginning when the game just started. And so I'm like, okay, this is the game we're playing. And so I was pretty well aware of what they were going to bring in, so I just had to be patient and then find my moments, and it didn't come until late.
Is that something you're finding now in the second half of the season? Obviously, when you arrived to Ireland, nobody knew much about you. You took everyone by surprise, I suppose, how you started in the league, but now that you've scored so many goals, are you finding you're getting that little bit of extra rough treatment from defenders?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, now a lot of teams are, I'm getting double team and whatnot, but on the bright side is that open space for my teammates, so you know, and it's just that you know, the guys are starting to recognize it and they're getting just their attention as well. And so, you know, as good as it is for them to double team me and whatnot, it also helps my teammates as well.
Yeah, you mentioned some of your teammates there. You seem to have struck up a very good partnership with Campion Hines. We obviously know his pace out wide, and he's put in some great crosses for you this season.
Oh yeah. We discuss it, we train it, we work on it, so that we have that chemistry. Because I know with his pace, sometimes it's okay if I even get on the ball. I just know once he gets that ball, I'm going in the box and make my movement and just wait. I know that when he's a certain, depending where he is on the corner, I know which one to make. So because we talk about it and we practice it. So yeah, a lot of my goals came from his, you know, his crosses. And we have that communication and that chemistry, which has helped me a lot as well.
Yeah, he scored some great goals this season as well.
I must admit, I'm happy for him to get his recognition as well, because he's a big, big, big player for us. And, you know, player of the goal of the month he had. And, you know, so I just hope that he keeps going that way. But, yeah.
I'd imagine that's a good foot race in training. Is he the quickest in the locker room?
Oh, yeah. No doubt. I mean, I give him, you know, I say I'm going to beat you at the race, but I know I'm not going to beat him. That's never happening. Because once he's taken off, he's gone. He's gone. Fastest guy, probably in the league, to be honest.
Are you aware of how many goals you've scored this season? Because some sources out there have 18, some have 19. Either way, it's a fantastic season. But do you know exactly?
I'm a little confused. I think it's 18 or 19. One was stolen from me, but...
Maybe that's where... What happened with that one?
They called it an own goal, but toe poked it in. It was typical striker goals, and they didn't give it to me. I believe that's why there might have been the confusion. But I'll say 19, because I'm going to claim that goal.
Yeah, we'll give you that one. We'll call it 19. Only for a man called Ronan Coughlin, you would be the top scorer in the first division this season. How does that feel?
What a season he's having.
31 or 32 now, yeah.
He's on fire. You know, it's great. You know, I'm happy for him. I don't know him personally, but it's great to see that a striker is doing well. You know, he's helping his team. You know, they're in a great position. And so for me, it's not really the focus for me to try to compete with him. It's more of I'm trying to do the best I can for my team and get us to a position that, you know, we want and meet our objectives. And of course, it's a little sweeter to have a lot of goals, but you know, the main goal for me is to help the team the best I can. But I'm happy for him. You know, it's great. It's great. Maybe I'll get 30. I don't know. But he's gone.
Yeah, that would be some end to the season if you can catch him. How important was the win on Saturday? Because you had built up quite a bit of a lead over Longford earlier in the season. But if Longford had won that game, it was down to 3 points. And next thing, you're kind of just clinging into those playoff places. So to have a 6 point lead over Longford again, and more importantly, the teams outside of the playoffs, you've built up a decent little gap again there. How important was it to come from behind the other night and win the game in the manner that you did?
It was great because we had struggled a little bit the games prior. We had a few ties and a couple losses. So, you know, it's usually hard to come back from those because it was a little consistent. But we know at this time of the season, we can't really give up too many space. And with, especially with those teams on the bottom climbing up and fighting to catch up. So, and to do it against Longford, we know, you know, when I came here, the first thing they told me was the rivalry, we have to be Longford. And so it was, for me, it's every time we play Longford, we have to be Longford no matter what. And so, you know, it was a great way to do it and to get the lead that we have now over the team that's in the fifth spot. Helps us a lot. So it was a great win. And like you said, there was no other way to do it the way it ended. Absolutely love it. So, but yeah, great points, yeah.
Well, you're living up to that promise anyway of winning every game against Longford. That's 3 from 3 this season. Now, you mightn't be aware, but before you arrived last season, Longford had gone 20 games unbeaten against Athlone. So you're part of an Athlone group of players that are, I suppose, creating your own little run now.
Yeah, that's what I heard. That's what I heard. I mean, from back to the last question you said, but there was what I would say about Longford, props to them as well, is the our different team from when we first played them in the second time. They brought a lot of intensity and, you know, the players that they have in the back as well as the front, different team. And so we knew that coming in. And so we didn't take them very lightly. And it showed in the game. And it just, you know, and just us fighting back really and trying to show how persistent we are.
One other great thing to see on Saturday, there was a good away support from Athlone and they were making great noise and there was great celebrations at the end when you got that winning goal and the full-time whistle went. Again, that's something that Longford fans wouldn't have seen over the last 5-10 years. There wouldn't have been big travelling supports from Athlone because that long run obviously kind of took a little bit of maybe fizz out of the fixture. But do you feel like there is something building at Athlone this season? Even at home, you're getting great crowds of over 1,000.
Yeah, there's definitely something building. I think if I'm correct, you know, the team hasn't had much success over these years. And so, you know, for them to finally see that something can happen here, you know, there's something special, there's potential here. You know, people are starting to come out and support and, you know, we need their support. It was great to see them at the game against Longford. It wasn't the greatest, the biggest, but we will take whatever we can because at the end of the day, it pushed us and the Longford crowd was behind them. So it was kind of tough. And when we needed them, you know, the Athlone Town fans, they pulled through and it was great to just go and celebrate with them because for them, it's a beautiful moment. I mean, 20 games, 20, however long it was before, you know, they could be Longford. So I'm pretty sure this is good for them for bragging rights, you know, with their friends or whatever the case may be. But it was good for them. So I'm really happy. Special moments for them for sure. Yes.
Very good. I spoke to your head coach, Dario, after the game, and when I asked him about you, he not only spoke about your qualities as a player, but he also said as a human being that you're, I can't remember the exact phrase he used, but you're a great guy, basically. You've kind of worked under a few different coaches now already in your short spell at Athlone. What type of impact has Dario made since he took over the role as head coach?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one thing is that, you know, he builds confidence in his players. He's a passionate guy about the game. And so he can talk about the game all the time. And it's just that trying to build a culture within our squad, yeah? And just having guys understanding their roles even more and what they're bringing to the table. And so, you know, his impact has been huge. And it shows, you know, with the rewards he's been getting and the results we've been getting. So, you know, very happy for him. He didn't come in an easy situation. It was tough and he pulled through. So yeah, props to him.
That was the first time I spoke to him. Seems like a really nice guy. He also spoke about trying to, I suppose, manage all the different cultures and different experiences that there are in the Athlone Town dressing room because it's very unusual in the League of Ireland to have a squad of so many overseas players coming together. And some have obviously played in different leagues and in colleges in America like yourself. So there's a lot of different kind of backgrounds and football cultures and languages as well. I know Dario is fluent in a few different languages, which probably helps. But what is the dynamic like within the Athlone Town dressing room?
I mean, I say we all get along pretty well. We have that chemistry. We don't really argue much. It's like if this person is not doing their job, the next guy can say, look, you know, and there's nothing personal. We all want the same thing. We all after the same goal. And so it's easier for us this way that we have that bond, and it shows on the field when things are tough, we're able to pull through. And that's the chemistry that we have in the locker room. And so, it's great. It's great.
I suppose the one thing a lot of you obviously have in common is that you've moved away from either home or a country that you've been living in for the last number of years, and you've come to a totally new environment. So I suppose there's that thing that kind of unifies everyone in the dressing room. How have you settled into life in Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about me is I'm easy to adapt, if that makes sense. Is you know, growing up, I've always been away from home and going to clubs, going to, you know, and whatnot. So it's nothing new for me. Coming in, I had a feeling of it's not gonna be easy, you know. And so I already knew in my mind I would have to adapt and just kind of fit well into the way, the style of playing, the things that's going on. And so it wasn't really hard for me at all. Pretty comfortable.
The thing you're probably going to realize quite soon about League of Ireland is it's a league that's great for rumors and speculation, and people like talking about players and all the rest. And obviously your performances this season is starting to lead to a lot of chatter about yourself. You've been linked with some big clubs within the league. Have you heard any of these rumors, and how do they make you feel, and how do you deal with them going out on the pitch?
I heard these rumors. I heard them. I mean, it's impossible not to. It's a small town, so you hear things. But I honestly don't let it get to my head too much, because these things can affect the players, you know. So I appreciate it. You know, it's great to hear that. But my main focus on the field doesn't change. You know, we have an objective. And so I go and try my best to help the team. I don't let that get to my head. And they can, in a way, just try to remain humble. And, you know, but it's great to see. It's great to hear. But that's all it is.
Your brother scored last night in the Champions League qualifiers. Looks like he has a good chance of maybe making the group stages again. I think it was it last season or the season before he got to play against PSG and Juventus.
Last season.
So that's obviously something. I'm sure you were watching the game last night, were you? Did you get a chance to watch?
I don't miss a game. I'm happy for him.
Is he your younger brother or older brother?
He's my older brother. He's
older brother. So a real inspiration to you then, is he?
Oh, yeah. Big time. I look up to him. And so, you know, we came from the same place. And so he's my motivation. Everything I'm doing, he watches my games and always give me bits and pieces of what I could do better. And so I take that in and try to implement every game. I look up to him big time, yeah. Mm.
And he's got a lot of caps for Haiti as well. You're not capped yet, are you?
I'm not capped yet. No. It may happen. I don't know. We'll see.
Has anyone been in touch with you to say they're keeping tabs on you? Because obviously you're scoring a lot of goals. But are you aware of people keeping an eye on you, keeping tabs on you?
I'm aware. It may happen soon. I don't have any confirmation of that yet. But I'm pretty sure the time will come. But
Brilliant.
It's not the main focus, you know. But if it comes, I will take it. I'm proud to wear the jersey. But
have you been capped at underage level at all?
No. So this would be my first time. Yeah.
I'd imagine that would be the dream for you, though, playing for your country alongside your brother.
Oh,
the ultimate.
For sure. No doubt about that. No doubt. But I'm patient. I'm hopeful, and so I'm sure my time will come. I've been waiting. When it comes, I'll be happy to do it.
And how is football developing in Haiti? I think we've seen the women at the World Cup, didn't we? The men's national team. How is football in Haiti at the minute? How strong or where is it?
I'm not really well informed in terms of from the, you know, academy level and stuff and whatnot. But the progress that I've seen with the women's team, it was really great to see. I was really proud to see them in the World Cup. I watched every game because I was like, this is our first time ever. And so it was something for, it was special for me. It was special for me. And I was, you know, rooting for them all the way through. Obviously, it was unfortunate that we didn't get that far, but it's good to see that the progress that is being made, the work that's being done, it's very evident, you know. So it was great to see. And in terms of the men's side, you know, we always compete well. We play well. We win games, go to the Gold Cup. And again, we didn't do very well this year. But it's good to see that we're bringing in different players from different places that are willing to represent Haiti. And so, you know, there's progress there. There's work in progress, and I'm happy to see it.
Good stuff. Good to hear. Just a final question on Athlone. I think there's been reports that you've basically gone full time, that you're training nearly every day or training during the day. Is that the case?
I mean, for me, I train I train almost every day because since we're here, it's easier for us to just go to the field.
Yeah.
And so the guys that are here will go to the field and train morning and then in the afternoon as well. And so it's a work in progress, trying to make it full time for everybody, as well as the Dublin guys. Yeah, that is the case. But for me personally, I try my best to put in as much training as possible. And
yeah, well, we can definitely see that anyway. You're not slacking off in training. But I suppose again, that makes it probably easier for you to settle in, the fact that every day you're doing double sessions. It kind of keeps you occupied and doesn't let the mind wander.
No, for sure. It helps a lot. It helps a lot. So that's great. Yeah.
Look, Franz, thanks so much for speaking to us today. You're having an amazing season, even though you're really hurting my team, Longford. I have to say, you're a very enjoyable player to watch. That was a stunning goal on Saturday. I hope you enjoyed the commentary, did you?
I did. You did very well. So, like I said, props to you. You did what you had to do. You did not disappoint, so, but thank you for having me. Yeah, I appreciate it.
You're stealing one of my quotes there. I didn't say he doesn't disappoint. I said he does not miss from here, your first goal. Yeah. You don't miss those chances. So.
Oh, yeah. I try my best. Hopefully, you know, I can keep that going and get more wins.
Yeah, look, you're certainly living up to the billing. But once again, thanks so much for speaking to us and best of luck for the rest of the season.
No problem. Thank you. Have a good one.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, Gary, great to hear from Franz on the podcast, although I think we don't want to see him again for a few weeks because he is one heck of a player.
Yeah, he was class the other night. All right, I don't know if we said it in person or if we just said it or like on the stream, but he was really quiet in the first half.
Yeah, well, he alluded to that in the interview. Yeah,
yeah, and not only that, I think I highlighted this in the commentary. He was very annoyed, or he felt very isolated.
Yeah.
In the second half, and there was times where he was giving out to Campion Hins, and he was like, "You're too far away from me. You know, you need to be closer. I can't do this," or whatever. But he managed to get it over the line, and I think that probably the best example, as good as the second goal was, the first one was probably. But it was just as impressive because he was in the right place at the right time, obviously. But also,
clinical.
The clinicalist, thank you. Mother of God, corner. Yeah.
You know, a lot of players there they'd take the touch and it'd sit up nicely for them and they'd take a wild swing at it. Whereas he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He wanted to put it in against the crossbar as he did. It was a really, really impressive finish.
Yeah, and just give Jack absolutely no hope.
Particularly for, as you said, a player that maybe was a bit cold in the game up until last stage.
Yeah, and I think that shows his probably raw ability
front of goal very
well. Absolutely. Yeah. He's a killer.
Yeah.
So excuse me. He was just very good, and look, a disaster from a Longford Town perspective.
Yeah, look, it was a stunning game of football. It was another really enjoyable game to commentate on. I know, as I said on Twitter, a few people were crying that a Longford Town fan and myself was getting a bit animated for an Athlone Town winner, but the same people, as I said, will cry about their own team getting biased commentary on LOI TV. So, look, I don't listen to that type of rubbish. I know Franz was chatting down there and he said he greatly enjoyed the commentary, so I'll take that. But Longford...
Well, just on your commentary, I don't think you're biased enough. I think you're too unbiased.
Well, you're there to keep it in check, but... what was I going to say? Longford got themselves in a position of dominance here. 2-1 up. Another comeback, as I call them, the comeback kings, because it would have been their third consecutive game where they came back and won. They're 2-1 up. And I was thinking, particularly after Monday, Longford, once they got the first goal against Bray, they just had the blinkers on to go and kill. They weren't thinking about drawing that game. They were thinking about going and winning, and they won it comfortably. And as we said on the pod last week, it ended 4-2. Could have been 6 or 7-2 to Longford. They just went into a totally ruthless mindset. And I thought they'd do the same when they went 2-1 up against Athlone. But then for the first time in a long time, I haven't seen this from Longford in a few weeks now. It was like the Longford of early in the season where they retreated, went into a shell, and they invited Athlone onto them, and they were punished for that. So just a little bit surprised by that from a Longford Town point of view.
Yeah, and look, it was probably the ending of them in that game. And actually, you can see it very clearly, and even in the lead-up to the goal, the way Longford were stepping off.
You can hear me say it. I say it in the lead-up to the second goal that Longford
were inviting.
Longford were inviting Athlone onto them. And I said, Oisín Duffy had been allowed to step forward. He passed it off to Connolly, and I was like, likewise, Connolly. They just dropped off him. He sprays a pass out to the Colombian winger. He gets a low cross in and runs his way through to Perot, and he scores. And once they got that equaliser, then... Probably always like
she wrote,
they had the momentum behind them winning their sails. But look, it was a great game, but from a Longford Town point of view, it's done serious damage to their playoff ambitions, while Athlone, it's given a serious shot in the arm, because we've spoken a lot about Athlone recently and what a good season they're having, but I think they only had 2 wins in 8 going into that game, so they were starting to slide away from the likes of Cove and get that bit closer to Wexford and Bray and Longford. I mean, there would have only been 3 points between Longford and Athlone, I think, if that game had gone in Longford's favour the other night. But now that's a 9-point gap, so that's absolutely massive for Athlone season.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely huge. Would you how damaging is that for Longford? Because I think
the way they lost the game is obviously that bit more damaging, particularly with it being a derby. You know, Longford win that game, they're 1 point outside the playoffs. Now they're 4 points again. Now 4 points isn't insurmountable. Teams like Wexford and Bray are going to drop points, but Longford are going to have to. It puts Longford back in that situation of going into every game and it's a must win and they have to win this. And it's probably worked all right in the last few weeks because the pressure has. They've stood that pressure to beat Bray when they needed to beat them, to beat Treaty when they needed to beat them. But they go into that game now against Harps having to win. Whereas if they went up there, you know, 1 point behind the playoffs, you could probably go away from home, be that bit more relaxed about, yeah, if we come out here with a point, it's not the worst result in the world. But I think they have to go to Harps, and they probably have to win now after the break, after the cup break.
Yeah, no, I understand where you're coming from. I just think the issue for me is that this is what Longford are this season. They're going to win some games, they're going to lose some games. Mm. They're going to do well 1 week, and, you know, we had a great weekend there last weekend or the weekend before, rather, the bank holiday, where Longford came back from twice to rescue 3 points. Really wonderful stuff. But they're not there at the moment. And, you know, I don't really know what else we can expect from them. Like they're not, I don't think just at this particular moment, they're ripe to go and put like 4 or 5 game winning streak together. I think it's very possible. I just don't think they're there yet.
Final few points on this game. Great to see a great crowd out on what was an absolutely horrendous night weather-wise. Over 1,000 at the game. I don't see anyone tweeting about that, though, which is strange. And there was another point. Well, yeah, from an Athlone point of view as well, they brought it wasn't a massive away crowd by any stretch of the imagination, but it was an away crowd, something we haven't seen in a long, long time at Athlone. A lot of younger fans as well, which was notable. So hopefully that's a sign that maybe... Athlone Town as a club are capturing the imagination of the local people again, something they haven't been able to do for the best part of 10 years.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they've kind of made their bed in that respect. Stuff that was going on around the club just wasn't very...
I think people would still have a lot of question marks about Athlone. There's still a lot of unanswered questions out there. I think a lot of people probably living in the town, still don't know a lot about the club in terms of how it's structured at the moment and everything else and who's involved and who's not involved. But look, positive results always help, and I think we saw that the legacy of that the other night. But look, we'll move on to the other games in a second. What we'll do now, we'll bring you a little bit of audio from Dario Castelo, the Portuguese coach of Athlone Town. I caught up with him after the game on Saturday. If you'd like to hear the full interview, head over to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership. You can join our members club there for just €5 a month or €50 for the for 12 months, and you'll get access to exclusive League of Ireland content such as this full interview with Dario Castelo.
Yeah. Your dressing room must be very interesting. So many different nationalities, so many different personalities, and your team is doing so well this season. It must be a very fun place to be.
Sometimes it's not easy work because the different type of nationalities means different type of mentalities, and I try to bring all my experience to here to keep the team together. And when we win, it's easy, but when we lose,
try to fix things.
I try to keep everybody together. I remember in the end of game in Bray, I call everybody because I don't want players point the fingers. Mm. No. And our team is fantastic in that point. They are all educated. They want to learn. They only want play football and training.
Yeah.
And training.
Does it help that a lot of your players have come through the US college system, so maybe they have similar experiences in the game?
Yes. But in terms of competitive, and when the games were more tough, I feel our team feel more difficulties.
Okay.
But if we have chance to have ball, we have everything to make the good games, and for them is an excellent opportunity to show their value in Europe.
Yeah. And for you, I suppose you're a man that nobody in Ireland knew much about, but you've done a great season since you've come into Athlone. How did you become the Athlone Town manager?
I come to my invitation comes because I was manager in Africa. I was manager in Africa, and I returned Portugal. My option was a return to Portugal, and I only have 4 months in Portugal, and I received the invitation from my to come to Athlone Town. Mm. And that's one of the reasons I was here, is the way how the people respect football. Mm. We win, we lose, and everybody are in the football in a positive way. I was here since January, zero problems with other teams.
Yeah.
Zero problems. And yesterday I saw a game in Portugal, first league, first journey, problems in the stands. And here is great.
So I'm very happy to be
enjoying yourself here.
I'm very happy to be here.
Darius, thank you so much and well done tonight.
Right, Gary, we'll continue with our first division review from the weekend. So we've already covered the Midlands derby between Longford and Athlone. We'll move on to Finn Harps against Treaty. Treaty coming out on top by 1-0. Didn't see huge amounts of this game. Was chatting to a couple of Harps fans. And look, Harps fans are Harps fans. They'll tell you one story, I'm sure, of a chat to the Treaty fans. They'll tell me another. But from what I believe, Finn Harps missed quite a few golden opportunities in this game.
Yeah, but I think with teams that are all around that area, they've been taking points off each other. I think Treaty and Harps have been taking more points off Longford than Longford are doing to them. But I think that's kind
just
of...
Just on Treaty, great to see them bouncing back, because I know they really took that defeat in their cup final to Longford extremely hard. You know, their fans really seem to be suffering from that defeat. So
against
their great rivals. So good to see them bouncing back up in Donegal the other night.
Yeah, absolutely, and they're still, you know, nursing that wound even after a good away win.
Oh, well, look, when you build up a fake rivalry that's not there, I suppose you have to, if you're all in and you're committed to it, then that's the way it is.
Yeah, you have to maintain it. Fair play to them. dedicated to the cause. There's no question about that. But look, I think on this game, I think that's probably not unexpected. I can't remember what I went for in the predictions league, but I think you're going to get those types of games. They're probably, you know, one decent shot, one decent finish was the difference. And even taking Harps fans' comments about, yeah, we should have won that game, or we had created loads of chances, we didn't put them away. And I think we saw that earlier on the season with different clubs not taking their chances. Drogheda for one, you know, numerous times with them. Longford in the earlier part of the season couldn't hit a barn door, and creating lots of chances but just not getting over the line. And that's going to be a runner for a lot of teams, particularly at the bottom end of the Premier or First Division table.
I suppose from a treaty point of view, you know, we always talk about Enda Curran having the burden and responsibility of scoring the goals. It was Dean George to score here, and he's on a decent little scoring streak. So it's important to see other players chipping in the attack for treaty.
Oh yeah, it's and he'll be telling us how bad of a back he has carrying the team and the goals.
Anthony Joshua.
Oh yeah, I did actually see that Egan. But it's good that it's spreading around. I think Dean, he goes through fits and spurts, I think, of scoring goals.
As a player I've always liked, I remember him breaking through with that loan the year they got to that semi-final against Dundalk in the Cup, where about, what, 11-0 or whatever it was. And I remember him being a good player that season for that loan, and always thought he'd be a good signer for Treaty, and he's chipped in the last couple of seasons. So,
yeah.
Look, again, I think John Breyer nailed it when he was on the pod earlier in the year. The rare time John does take the time out to join us, it's a flip of a coin a lot of these games, and the coin fell Treaty United's way. Exactly. Just a pity it didn't fall their way the week before against Longford in their big game. But anyway, Cove 3, Bray 3, bit of madness here.
Yeah, Jesus, I didn't see that coming. I think I was probably very boisterous
in the Cove camp.
Yes, and that didn't come to pass.
And particularly when you are looking at the score alerts coming through, they're a goal up after 2 minutes. I was thinking, yeah, we've nailed this. This is going to be a proper hammer.
Yeah. Yeah. All right,
yeah.
No, it rarely does. It's a very surprising result. Interesting that, and look, that's a huge positive news story for Ian Ryan. Conceding plenty, but to have that hardiness that they've probably missed out on in the last few weeks, and probably this season by and large, to, you know, pull a game out of the fire and actually get a positive result.
Can they reach the playoffs if they keep conceding the level of goals they're conceding?
No. It's not possible. Ethan has been saying for as long as I can remember that clean sheets wins you this league. And
look at Galway, 13 goals conceded.
Yeah. And yes, I know they're scoring plenty as well.
The best defence always wins you the First Division. I would agree with our friend Lyle on that one.
Yeah. Kind of is what it is. It's very, very, very simple. It's decent performances at the back sets you up for that. And I suppose John Caulfield has managed to iron that out. Wasn't able to do it in the last few years, but managed to get it over the line. So fair play to him on that one.
Yeah, just before we move on to JC and Galway, well done to Shane Keegan on winning the Munster Senior Cup.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, I think that's all he'll be winning this year, but maybe he could still win promotion. Who knows?
Who knows? So on Galway, drawing 2-2 with Waterford. What was your thoughts on this one, Galway? Bailing out with a last-minute equaliser from Lombotto.
Yeah, geez, it was some game. And I have to say, I love the celebrations from Caulfield. They were... It was great watching, to be quite honest. I thought it was great crack. Probably something you don't really see a lot of. Would it be fair to say that you see a lot of animation when things aren't going too well, and probably don't see, you know, the celebrationary side of John Caulfield too often. Now, that's probably, to be fair, he hasn't had a bag to celebrate over the last few years, but I think, you know, it was a great result for Galway.
I wonder if the fact he wasn't the RSC he landed on his arse a few years ago. I think our mate him and Bastian Heary, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
Tangled down there. So maybe that was still in the back of the mind. He said, I'll go down here and I'll have the last laugh this time.
My God, I'd forgotten about that. Good shout.
We must ask Bastion about that.
Yeah, we may.
When we bump into him.
Yeah, so I've nailed him in the dressing room after. Yeah, geez, that's a good one. I've totally forgotten about that.
One of the great League of Ireland snaps, that one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hilarious stuff. But yeah, cheating, Mac. But yeah, look, I think look, by and large, is it meaningless
at the end of the day? A little bit, yeah.
You know, like does it matter a damn what happens in these games? Like, yeah, it would have been great for
Waterford
to get one over on them, but at the end of the day, it's not going to change.
Yeah, the ship has sailed.
The ship has sailed, absolutely. So, yeah, I think we're ball bursting that one.
Wexford 3, Kerry 2, another wild game. Some weekend in the First Division.
Absolutely, but it's probably always going to be the case, isn't it?
Three local lads scoring for Wexford, Boyle, Dobbs and Furlong.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, I think it was always a runner that Kerry were going to watch. I actually flicked that over when they went 2-0 up. And I was like, yeah, geez. But I think Wexford kicked into gear almost immediately after. And
I actually know a lot of people that backed Kerry half-time, Wexford full-time.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Did you do it yourself?
No, I heard about it after the fact, but I know a lot of lads that backed
Boys are after-time and don't I hear from them. Go yeah. out. Yeah, the
never post their losing slips, do they?
Yeah, well, that's the one.
That's the saying goes.
Yeah, look, it's a killer for
it's a Kerry. I know every week, to be honest.
Yeah. But on the flip side, it would have been.
Oh, would have been what kind of ramifications would there have been if Kerry had held on for the win?
Yeah, I was about to say that. Like, I don't think it would have been fatal, but Journey Mac, it would have been fairly toxic now to do that at home. And even like getting back to 2-2, like even the result isn't great. Yes, they won, but like to have to pull a game out of a fire like that is not where you want to be. Not what's required at the moment for.
Look, we said it very early in the year. There's very few teams, bar Galway, that can defend in the First Division. The defending is atrocious.
Oh, it's dire. It's absolutely dire. Oh, look,
what a great weekend of First Division football. Some absolute ding-dong battles there.
Yeah, absolutely. And some nice goals. Some, you know, really, really good goals that we saw with Perot. You know, just... some exciting one, last minute equalizer, stuff like that. Like it had it all this weekend. A really good weekend for the First Division. Not so good for the defenders.
Yeah, and that is why we cover the First Division in full each and every week here on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. So keep on tuning in, First Division fans. Yeah, so Gary, let's move on to the FAI Cup previews. As I mentioned a little bit earlier on in the show, we've got a Waterford fan joining us in the Predictions League this week. That's Donica O'Sullivan, who's going to take us on. Last week, we also had, was it last week? It was, yeah, we also had a Waterford fan. That was Jim Fitzgerald. Jim, you only got 8 points. Not a bad effort, though. Gary, you got 10, and I got 11. So I will take
you that. Got 11?
I got 11, yeah. Let me see. How many correct scores did I get? I got Waterford Galway correct. Got Cork UCD correct, as did you, by the way. And I got Shells Rovers correct. So I got 3 correct scores last week.
Wow. Fair play to you. Didn't think you had it in you.
Thanks very much. So, actually, do you know what I need to do here? I need to load up our guests' predictions. But while I'm doing that, you can give me your thoughts on Bowes against Rockmount. I know you've been doing your research on Rockmount.
Yeah, I have. Having my eye. It has to be Bowes. They could really probably do it a cup run in lots of ways. So would be they can't stumble here.
What I've been hearing from people that follow their non-league football, if you want to call it that, apparently Rockmount is a team, as we always hear, these are one of the teams that could mix it at First Division level. So,
oh really?
I'm just Donica is obviously down that part of the country, and he's going only for a 2-0 win to Bowes. So there's obviously a feeling that Rockmount are no mugs. I was involved in a bit of a debate there the other day with someone that follows the Leinster Senior League, and they were of the opinion that the vast majority of Leinster Senior teams would be very comfortable in the First Division. So I'm going to be rooting for each and every League of Ireland club to win 2-0 this week. So I am going to go 4-0 to Bohemians here.
Yeah, fair enough.
Those probably make some changes. I don't know, maybe they won't, but anyway.
I don't know. I think it'd probably be a good opportunity for, let's say, Danny Grant maybe to get back to...
get firing, yeah. I see Luke Dennison is very close to return from his injury as well, which is great to see. So it'd be good if he could get a run out. He might be ready for that yet, but yeah, we'll see what type of team they feel. But either way, they'll win this. They'll win this comfortable 4-0.
I'm going 3-0.
You're going 3-0. Okay, Cork against Waterford. As you said, this is actually more important than it looks. It's not just the cup. Cork need to try and get something to spark their season. Will they win this cup game against Waterford?
No. And I don't think it's going to be a huge operation for Waterford. I think they're going to be... You know, I think if you think Waterford are in the playoffs, let's say that's set in stone, which it is. Why wouldn't they want a cup run? It's not going to take their focus off anything. It's going to keep them limber or whatever you want to call it. I don't see why they'd be, you know, going, oh, geez, we have to deal with this cup now. We're only struggling in the league or anything like that. Mm. That's not a consideration at all. So, yeah, I'm going 1-0 to Waterford.
Okay, I'm going 2-1 to Waterford. And our Blues fan here, he is going for a 2-1 win to the Blues. Not overly surprising there. UCD against Galway.
Yeah, interesting one.
Yeah, I suppose interesting the fact, you know, Premier Division or champions electing the First Division against a team that's going to be relegated. UCD scraped by Cove in the last round. So on that basis, you'd think Galway probably should be comfortable or confident, excuse me, causing an upset here, but it mightn't just be that handy.
Would it even be an upset?
Fair question. Probably not, given that I don't think Cove beating them would have been a massive upset either. UCD getting a good result against Cork last time, but again, it doesn't really matter. They're going to be relegated. This will be interesting, this game, because we've spoken a lot about the First Division this year, that we think it's at a very poor standard. So it'll be interesting to see the team, there's that word again, be interesting to see the team that's miles clear at the top going up against the team in the Premier that's miles at the bottom.
Yeah.
And what kind of levels they're on. What's your thoughts on this?
I think it'll be an interesting enough game. I'm not going to, I won't say it's going to be a humdinger or anything like that. I'd say.
You don't see Galway miles clear of UCD here.
What I mean. But also, like, what's their, like, are they going to give a damn about the cup?
Well, why wouldn't they? The league's won. What's to stop them going on a good cup run?
Nothing.
UCD, this is all they've got left to fight for, so...
Yes, well, actually, you convinced me. 2-1.
Very interesting. 2-1 to...
Galway.
To Galway, okay. I'm going to go 1-1 in normal time, and I'm going to go Galway 2-1 in extra time.
No pens.
No. Kerry against Drogheda. From a Drogheda point of view now, important is this game? The cup has opened up for them. They win here, they're in the quarterfinals, but they've still got work to do to stay up in the Premier. They're going down to Mount Hawk. It's a long trip down. The pitch down there isn't ideal.
Yeah.
Will Kevin Doherty rotate here?
Does he have the bodies to rotate at the moment?
I always find it easier when I'm having a look at their squad. So who didn't play the other night? So McNally came on as a sub. We know McNally, how good he is. Darren Noon. Their squad's probably not strong enough for wholesale changes. Like the likes of Ryan Brennan, he'll probably be given a rest because he's been carrying a bit of a knock. Kyle Robinson, I suppose, a fresh leg that have come into the club, they'll probably start him. Gary Deegan, do you rest the likes of him? someone like what value Keane has played every game. Do you rest him? Conor Kane that's had injury issues. Do you not play him on a pitch like that? Even with that, though, they should be. You know, this is a team of we call them professionals. I know they're part time Drogheda, but they're as good as full time professionals. They're going up here against a Kerry team that's won one game all season. Even if they rotate, should they have enough Drogheda?
I think so. Yes, I'm going to go 3-0 Drogheda.
Okay, like for Kerry, this is a big occasion. Their first Premier Division team coming down to town. I think there's going to be a big crowd out for this one. So I have a feeling Drogheda, though, will score early and that'll probably
kill any excitement
yeah. in the air, yeah. I think Drogheda will manage the tie well. I don't think they're going to go hell for leather here. I'm going to be kind on Kerry and go 2-0, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's more than that. Sorry, you said 2-1. What did you say there?
3-0 Drogheda. 3-0
and Donnacker going 2-1 to Drogheda there. The next one is Bray against Dundalk. Good to see that the Pixalot is going to be out of operation for this one. They're going to bring in a proper camera, so this is probably the game I'll watch on Friday, but I expect Dundalk to have far too much for this leaky Bray team.
Yeah, I think probably Dundalk should be, you know, tackling this as...
should be putting these to the sword.
Exactly. No yeah. question about it. Just get the job done. No messing. I'm going to go 2-0. I don't think there's going to be too much fanfare. Get it done. Get it out of the way. Move on. And yeah, 2-0 to Dundalk. It is good that the just on the Pixalot piece.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great either.
In what regard?
Well, like, it's clear, like, the FAI...
See that the Pixalot isn't good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this, you've spoken about this before, about, I suppose, when Watch LOI was around, and now whatever setup the Premier clubs have with LOI TV.
Yeah.
This equipment will, I don't know, will they just be brought in for the day or whatever? I assume this is a third party coming in to do this. They'll pack up at the end of the night, they'll go, and Bray won't have learned anything. Wouldn't it be great if someone could spend a few days down there? This is what you need. In fact, we're going to give this to you. Here's a camera. Here's a bit of this. Here's a bit of that. You know, train someone up to man a stream.
Yeah. Look, we've been saying this kind of for a while. With Watch LOI and the company that's in now, they're subcontracting, I think, all of it. So that's an issue in itself. But there's a haircut being taken on fees and stuff that we're not, you know, paying over, that we're not seeing any extra benefit. But that to the side, I think there would be, if there could be a situation where, Brady, you have a few grand to put a stream together. And if you do, this is what you need to do.
Mm.
It's, I don't want to go hammering anybody this week because I'm not in the form for it, but there's a lot of money walking out of the league and not a lot remaining after the fact. Yes, decent,
good point.
Streams, and that's great. But at the end of the day, there's no lasting
legacy.
Legacy, and you know, it's not that hard to get, you know, I'll gather up a laptop. This is what you need: a decent laptop. Decent camera, you know, you could really be up and going for about a grand.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Anyway, right, so I go 3-0, you go 2-0, and our guest Donka goes 3-0 there as well to Dundalk. Harps against Skerries. Skerries beat Portlaoise Town in the previous round.
In a humdinger.
Harps only, what was the team they overcame? It's only a 1-0 win for them anyway against a non-league side. So at home here, you'd expect this to be that bit more comfortable, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not sure it will be, though. I'm not sure it'll just be easy either. I'm going to go 2-0 Harps, but
wouldn't it be?
I don't know. It's just be a bit hairy. They're not, you know, they're not in fantastic form. They took that hammering off at Lone, beaten by Treaty. haven't exactly, have they put anyone to the sword really this season?
I know the
scoring goals. I'd imagine they're one of the lowest scorers in the first division. Let me have a look at the table. I'm just throwing that out there. But Finn Harps have scored 30 goals in 27 games. So, yeah, aside from Kerry, they are the lowest scoring side.
Still scored 3 against us. Scored 6 against us. Oh, God. A fifth of their goals this season is against the town.
So that's why I don't think it'll be pure handy. You're going 2-0 as well. Okay. Yeah, yeah. And let's see what Donka goes for there. He is going for 2-1 to Harp. So yeah, I think we're all in agreement there. That is not going to be just handy. Patsy, why against Wexford? A potential banana skin for Wexford here?
No, I don't think so. I think they'll get a lot out of getting that over the line. That game against Kerry might have been one that they left behind them earlier on in the season. Now, it's not exactly as if they've been their class, but they've been kind of going okay recently. Not pulling up any trees, and I still maintain that, you know, that was a good end to their to the game the other night, but still at the same time, it's not fantastic having to come back from 2-0 down at home against Kerry, no matter what way you slice it. So, yeah, I'm going to go 2-0 to Wexford. Yeah.
So you're still giving the non-league chance, no chance of even scoring a goal. I'm going to give them a goal here, so the Leinster Stadium can celebrate here. I'm going Pats, CY1, Wexford 2. I think Wexford, they're a bit chaotic this season, but they have that firepower, the likes of Dobbs there to dig them out of trouble when required, the likes of Furlong. So I think, yeah, they'll have enough here if they are in a bit of trouble. And our guest here, Donny, going for 1-0 to Wexford as well. So that's a clean sweep for the League of Ireland sides again. Hopefully that is the case and we can put an end to this nonsense of the Leinster Senior League being able to mix it.
I don't think we'll ever get rid of it.
If you want to mix it, lads, step up to the first division and we'll soon find out.
I actually don't want it ever to be gone because it's funny. A crack every year.
And of course, the calendar is the great excuse at the moment.
Is that the line?
Yeah, that's the line at the moment, yeah.
Right, okay. So I don't know why you all want to play in winter. Oh, summer holidays. I don't go out.
Finally, the tie of the round, that is Derry City against St. Pat's on Sunday. Hopefully Derry will be heading into this one. Looking forward to a playoff round in the Conference League. But what about their chances of retaining the FAI Cup?
Sorry, who's playing? Sorry. St.
Pat's. And we said on the show a couple of weeks ago, we both fancied Pat's in this. Now, since then, Derry, they're in nice form. But obviously, on Thursday night in Europe. They probably should have just stayed in Talla instead of going back to Brandywell to play this one. Just bring Pats over the road would have been handier. But anyway, how are you thinking? What way are we going here?
I think Pats. I know they're the reigning champs and all of that, but I think Pats just are in a great place at the minute. And I think they're going to do it.
What's your scoreline?
1-0.
To Pats.
Yeah.
I'm going for a bit of a mad one here. I'll tell you what Donny's gone for first. He's gone for 2-1 to St. Pat's. I'm going for 2-2 after 90, 3-3 after extra time, and Pats to win on penalties.
Five bonus points.
Give me the predictions league. Yeah, 5 bonus points, right? You've committed to it. I'm writing it down, not letting you away with it. Yeah, so look, that is the predictions league for this week. I suppose that pretty much brings us to the end of the show, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Bit of a not a lame week, but with the cup taking up some of the time, there's a lot of teams that aren't playing at the minute. I think the town are.
Will you get to a game this week? Will you go to any of the cup games?
See how I feel.
No real. I know you're near the bowl there. You might pop over to UCD Galway. As we said, that's probably an interesting tie. Cork Waterford's definitely very interesting for the reasons we've outlined on the show. And then Derry Pats on Sunday is a huge one. But some of the other ties maybe wouldn't get you that excited.
No, and we're not going up to the Brandywell to watch that one. It's probably the game of the
Would
tie.
It be good for the FAI Cup if one of the non-league teams did cause an upset this weekend? As much as it wreck our brains about the commentary we'd have to listen to after, but for the actual storyline of the cup and upsets and all the rest, would it be good if the likes of Pat CY were to beat Wexford or Rockmount were to do something up in Daly Mount?
Well, I think, you know, if you want to take it as, all right, someone's going to do something, then let it be Rockmount. Do you know what I mean? Like you don't want Pat's nicking or Pat CY nicking it against Wexford or Skerry's doing a job on Harps. Like, that's not as much as interesting as Rockmount doing bows.
Ah, yeah, but then we'd have to hear how the Leinster senior sides could mix it in the Premier Division. Never mind.
Yeah, I know. I absolutely. But like, you know, anybody, you know, I don't want to go. Anybody can beat anybody on their day. But at the same time, there's an element of truth in there somewhere, buried deep down. There's truth in it. So yeah, I don't think it's a reality. I don't think anybody can do it. I know there was a few non-league only ties in the last round, which probably made it a bit more difficult for, I would say, a team to possibly get you know, a surprise result against a League of Ireland team in the first round. But look, I think don't see it happening anytime soon at all. So
maybe the ideal situation is Kerry to beat Drogheda. Sorry, Kevin.
That'd be mad.
That would create some headlines, wouldn't it?
That would be. It'd be a good, great story for Kerry. Mm. And, you know, their first season in it, why not? Let them have one. You know, that would be their second win of the season.
Yeah, so look, let's see what happens in the FAI Cup over the course of the weekend. We'll be back next week to react. And we'll round off by saying best of luck to Derry City tomorrow night in Talla. I'm going to be there. So if you're listening to this podcast ahead of the game, make sure you head over to the Between the Stripes Twitter feed on Thursday night, because I'll have pre-match, half-time and full-time video updates, match reports type things. And then after the game over on the Members Club, I'll have hopefully some post-match content on hopefully what will be a historic night for Derry City Football Club. So look, to everyone that's continuing to tune in, thanks so much to our sponsor, Quinn AV. I know he's a very happy man this week, and I'm sure he enjoyed this week's show with Franz and with Dario from Athlone Town joining us as well. So to everyone that spoke to us for this week's pod, a huge thanks as ever. And again, to all of our listeners, thanks a million once again. Until next week, signing out for this week, it's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley, and we'll see you again next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.